Hello, world! It's Janet Cleary, your life coach and host on Fight for Sound, BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. It is Tuesday, December 4th, and happy holidays. Today, I think, is the first day of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to all of you who celebrate that holiday. And I am wishing everyone lots of joy and peace in the holiday season and really every day, not just the holiday season, but every day of your life. So I am a life coach, and thank you for being here. I'm really enjoying hosting this radio show, and you have an opportunity to call in today and ask questions or share your thoughts, because your thoughts are important to us. The numbers are 877-876-5227, or local is 530-876-3222. If you're in Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756, and you can find all these numbers on bbsradio.com. So my mission in life is to ignite human potential. I love my work. It is very rewarding, and that is why I'm hosting this radio show, so that I may bring some inspiration to my listeners, and especially around the holiday season, people tend to get busy. Some people tend to feel lonely. And I'm here to provide some inspiration for you and some nurturing. And as a life coach, I work with individuals, and I work with organizations and companies, and I basically bring them through a process so that they become more self-aware, because it is what we don't know about ourselves that is in our way of creating what is most important to us. So another way to think of it is the more we know ourselves, the better our lives work. And that's what I do. It's a very fun and confidential process. And if you would like to learn more about my coaching, you may call me anytime, email me, and you can check out my website on sightforsound.com. So are you feeling excited about life? Are you ready for a change? Do you have questions? Are you on purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? There are so many questions, and I have all the answers, I think. Today we have an amazing guest. Her name is Shoshana Ortelia Rogers. She is a world-renowned spiritual teacher residing in New York City. And, well, I would say that she's bi-coastal. She's in Los Angeles quite often, and I have had the honor to work with her and to have her as a friend of mine. And my life has certainly changed for the better just having her in my life. And she and I are going to talk about learning to love myself one flaw at a time, which I think is a great topic to talk about right now during the holiday season, bringing 2007 to an end, thinking about what's next for 2008. And I'm excited about the conversation, especially, you know, learning to love myself one flaw at a time, being human and accepting and embracing our humanness and our imperfections, and or we could also look at the imperfections as perfection. And some of the things I want to talk about before I bring Shoshana on, some thoughts, some ideas I have in learning to love myself one flaw at a time, so let me count the ways. The first thing that comes to mind is choice, making a choice. So really just in the moment, making a choice to love myself more than I did yesterday. And the great news is that we have choice in every moment. So we can change our minds in every moment. And I think putting yourself first so you have more to give to others is a great way to love yourself more and more and embrace your flaws, because the more you love yourself, the more you love others, and the more that they end up loving themselves as a result of being in your presence, someone who loves themselves and embraces their flaws. I also think that daily acknowledgement of your greatness and your flaws. So every day, taking the time to acknowledge your qualities, what you judge as your good qualities, what you judge as your flaws. And this creates a consistent reminder of the beautiful human being that you are. And in time, depending on your level of commitment, I would say that you see your flaws and you see them in a way that you never have before. Perhaps you'll see them as gifts. Perhaps you'll start to see them as great qualities. Perhaps you'll look at them and decide to tweak them or change them, modify them, and create them into opportunities. I also think that self-forgiveness and compassion, self-compassion and self-forgiveness, are vital to self-love. If we go through life beating ourselves up for something we did or something we said, or disliking our body, our physical body, or disliking this or that about ourselves, and constantly wanting ourselves to change rather than being compassionate and forgiving for who we are right now, today, in the moment. So self-forgiveness and self-compassion, really building that and really making a choice and commitment to grow that. I know it has worked for me and for many of the clients that I've worked with. Honesty and integrity, great tools to use for self-love and to love yourself even more, even with all your flaws. And integrity to me is being the person that I say that I am, keeping my word, honoring my commitments. And when I do that, I feel really good about myself, and I think that is a form of self-love. Oh, positive, declarative, affirmative thinking and statements. Practice positive, declarative, affirmative thinking and statements. An example would be to eliminate the word can't from your vocabulary, or should. Can't is a word that I think assists in people stopping themselves and supports people in looking at their flaws. So what words would you use in place of can't? What words would you use in place of should? Should has a lot of obligation to it, has a lot of resistance to it. So then we start creating this sense of obligation and resistance in our bodies. So we begin to not feel that great about ourselves. So what can we do? What do you really mean when you say I should? Those are a couple of examples. Being playful, taking the time, booking the time, scheduling the time for play and fun, scheduling the time for quiet time with just yourself. And lastly, service and contribution. I know for many people, and myself included, that when I am of service and when I am of contribution to the world and my community, that I feel extremely good about myself. And I know that I have made a positive impact on someone or a community, and I feel good about myself. So the better you know, if I continue to feel good about myself, then it's easier to love myself and have less focus on my flaws. So those are my thoughts for now, and I would love to introduce Shoshana or Talia Rogers. And Shoshana, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you. I am great. But talking about flaws, I'm receiving emails of some people that are having challenge getting on, so I just wanted to give you a heads up on that.
They're challenged to call in?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a busy signal?
I don't know. I just
okay.
Yeah. I just thought that was so apropos.
Uh-huh. No, it's nobody's flaw. It's nobody's flaw. There's no blame here. Well, I'm sure that Dawn at BBS Radio is hearing this right now and is working diligently on solving the issue of people having trouble calling in.
Yeah.
Because it's not that they can't call in. They can. They're just having trouble.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here and taking the time to talk with me and to be of service to our listeners today. And I thought it would be great to take a few minutes, Shoshana, for you to introduce yourself. Tell us, you know, where you were born and where you grew up and maybe a few nuggets about your services.
Okay, thank you. So I was born in Israel, and I've come to the United States about 32 years ago. Uh-huh. And I'm right now in Brooklyn, New York. I travel with my work. I have been doing this spiritual work for the last 27 years. I do global journeys, which one is coming up. We're going to Brazil in January to see John of God. There's some more spots left if people want to join us.
Mm-hmm.
I do intuitive counseling. I do a lot of goddess work, which is to awaken the spirit of receptivity and self-love within either gender, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of healing work, shamanic work. And I believe that's it for now.
Yeah. And I must say that you do it very well.
Thank you. Thank you, as you do as well. It's an mm-hmm. honor to know you. And you said about coming here on the call, I am with gratitude that you have invited us. Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hi there. What's your name?
Nancy. Nancy Marino.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I'm calling in to ask Shoshana a question. I don't know if I'm too late or...
Go ahead and ask it.
Well, oh, I can ask it?
Ask a question, sure.
I'd like to know if she sees how she sees my finances coming up in 2008.
Oh, okay.
Hi, how you doing? How's everybody?
Hi, Nancy. Good. I see them as flawless. How's that?
Yeah. You see it as what?
Flawless.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right. 2008 is the number one year.
Is
and
that
it's
right?
It's a wonderful opportunity for everyone to begin anew, to open a new page.
Okay.
It's the universal one for the new millennium. So it is a powerful year.
Oh, right. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so then no worries.
Thank you, Nancy, for calling in.
Who loves you, baby? Take care. God
you,
bless.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, well, we got some excited people. That's great. Okay, let's see. So where were we?
Oh, good question. I was sharing a little bit about my history.
Yes. Global journeys.
Yes.
Okay, and we were talking about the topic of learning to love myself one flaw at a time. Mm-hmm. And I have quite a few questions for you, but first I'd love for you to share with the audience your thoughts on that topic.
Oh, thank you. I would love to. When Janet asked me about coming on the call and we looked at different opportunities, this statement just came out from nowhere. And I said, well, very interesting, because we teach best what we need to learn most.
Mm-hmm.
And loving myself has been a challenge, being a child of Holocaust survivors. And constantly being codependent and finding that my love comes from approval. So I have to be good, have to do right. And I found myself in boundaries of constantly emitting a certain mask of myself rather than my true self, believing that that's the mask that would receive the love and the approval and I will be safe.
Mm-hmm.
What I found was that the more I was putting the mask, the less I was allowing my true self to be. And I was creating drama in my life, and one crisis after another. And as I have journeyed on the spiritual path, what I am finding more and more, the more I allow my wholeness to come forth from the crevices, cleaning it out, the more I am finding peace, and the more I am finding the flow. There's a story that goes that this man in Africa who mm-hmm. lived in a village without electricity went and got himself a lantern, and he put it in his hut. But when he put it in the hut, he started seeing all the dirt. So he started telling his wife that unless she starts cleaning, there's going to be problems there. And she said, unless you get rid of the lantern, I'm leaving.
Hold that thought. I think we have a caller. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your name?
This is Christina Thompson.
Christina Thompson, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
I am in Chandler, Arizona.
Very nice.
I was calling to ask Shoshana to give me a blessing.
Well, we know that the blessing comes from within, but you know you're in my heart, Christina.
Well, you know, I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you for calling.
And I had to make sure the phones were working.
Thank you, Christina.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you, Christina.
All right.
Okay,
and
well,
so he
keep
complained.
Going.
Yeah, he complained to his wife about the dirt, you know. And she gave him a choice, either the lantern or her. And that the metaphor of the story is that we don't like people to see our dirt. And we all mm-hmm. have it, right? We spend a lot of time and energy trying to hide it. And about 10 or 11 years ago, I said, the heck with that. I said, I am who I am, and let everyone see me from my wholeness. And if they love me or not, that's their story. And what I found for myself that the less I was hiding in the sense of wanting their approval, the more I was approving of myself, which was an amazing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found myself much freer in that. So I find myself speaking more from my heart, from my soul, and no longer being attached to the approval or disapproval from the outer when I
sure.
know that I'm walking with my integrity.
I think as human nature, we tend to hide our dirt. Maybe, you know, to get the self-approval, maybe to feel safe. I think there may be people who don't have basic boundaries set up for, you know, when they reveal their dirt and someone reacts to them in a negative way, they're not sure how to handle it. So what would you say for people out there who hide their dirt because they're really not sure how to handle a person's reaction? What kind of boundaries can they put in place?
Well, what I found is that the less I was seeking boundaries, the safer I was in regards to hiding or not hiding my stuff.
Okay.
So,
more on that.
Yeah, I found that the need for boundaries comes because we do not feel safe.
Right.
And when I clay my boundaries just for the space in my life, but not to height. It's very different.
Yeah. So what's an example? What is an example of that? So our listeners have a clear understanding of what that looks like.
In regards to asking for your boundaries rather than having to hide is communication.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to sharing about yourself, you owe no one the need to share. But when you are close to someone and you find yourself that you want to spare yourself of a headache or you don't want to say certain things because you do not want to have any crises or drama, what you find yourself doing is creating the internal drama. And henceforth, you start sulking and you pull away. And the other person feels that. They don't know what's wrong. They think they have done something wrong. Henceforth, they start pulling away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then love is not present.
Right. Well, I agree with that.
Right.
I agree with that. So when we're keeping things inside and we're sparing ourselves of a headache, we tend to stir up that internal headache and that internal drama, which in turn results in internal drama, but then from that we're not loving ourselves as much and our life isn't working as well.
Right. And one key for me dealing with this issue had to deal with writing my book.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the book, I had to write everything. I got the inner guidance that if I'm writing the book, I have to just purge and write everything. And, of course, there was concern because there's shame. You know, there's certain things that I have done that I haven't been too proud about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing experience this past summer when we had a group of friends. We went to Fire Island, and we started reading the chapters of the book, and they came and they sat around, and we just read everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what I found is a reaction from them. They were so grateful. They said, oh, my God, that has helped me so much. And
yeah.
I realized that showing our humanness gives others the space to show theirs.
Yeah, it gives them internal permission.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and it's freedom there.
And lots of freedom.
Yes, and more space to love.
Lots of freedom, lots of peace of mind, and more space to love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's why humans connect so well with music, because a lot of the stories in the music are about human experiences, and when they hear someone who is well known talk about a human experience that is very similar to theirs, it gives them internal permission to be more human.
Mm.
That's what I love about music.
Yeah, it also carries its energy in different waves.
Mm-hmm.
Those waves bypass, you know, the judgmental mind. It goes straight to the heart.
Yeah.
That's why the spirit of the singer touches the spirit of the listener.
Mm-hmm. And one of my questions, Shoshana, is what is your definition of love? Because I think many people have different definitions of love, which I think is so interesting, and I'm interested in hearing yours.
And that's a very interesting question, because I remember seeing going to Kripalu, and the guru there said, what is love? Well, pull away what isn't, and you got love.
Uh-huh.
And I truly believe the definition of that is so personal to each being. We speak about unconditional love. We speak about oneness. And I believe these are words that our intellect hears but does not know how to engage in that. I remember being interviewed one time in Missouri and on the TV, and I was asked, how would you explain channeling, or how would you explain spirituality, that people truly connect with spirit? How could you explain samadhi? And I said, well, how would you explain orgasm?
Yeah.
You know? So henceforth,
that's a great analogy.
It's an experience.
Is our audience blushing right now?
I believe it's an experience that words devalue it, but actions support it. And for me, the essence of love is just a feeling, a sense of complete expansion, feeling the sense of the spirit within and without, feeling the interconnectedness, feeling like when you touch and when you hold a baby that was just born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but how can you define it in words? I do not know.
Yeah. I do not know either. It is more of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting words to that experience.
Yeah, I believe that.
Do you think that, so in terms of self-love, do you think that embracing one's flaws is part of the definition of love or self-love?
I believe that it's very connected to allowing. And one of the key things that I have realized with my flaws is that I wanted to correct my flaws before I could love myself. Kind of like the people that say, well, when I can teach a child and be a good parent, I will have a child, you know? And if we look for that perfection, there will be no children here.
Yeah.
And henceforth, what I found was that the more I was gentle with myself and so that the flaws were there just as an unique handicap that allowed me to learn deeper into myself, that allowed me to go and seek and reflect deeper, that allowed me to see my humanness and henceforth be more compassionate to the other beings and mm-hmm. their humanness. And as I started seeing that, because we are so much easier on others than we are on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When I start recognizing that, if I can do it for the other, why can I not do it for myself?
Right on.
And the more I find myself experiencing doing it, and it's one step at a time, one baby step at a time, but the more I find myself doing it, the more I find that there is a flow that generates a whole different energy. I find myself more and more being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful experience.
It is. And when we're more and more in the moment, we're less and less thinking about our flaws or what's not working in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the flow and being in the zone creates a state of joy.
Right.
I was working with a bunch of inner city kids this weekend. We took them on a camping retreat, and one of the activities we did was we had a T-shirt craft class in which they all took a T-shirt and had lots of material and glue and glitter and everything. And to see this whole room full of children in the zone and like having no care in the world was just beautiful.
Hmm.
I think we have a caller. Hello.
Hello there. This
Hi,
is Barbara H. from North Carolina.
Hi.
And hello there.
Hey, Barbara.
And hi there, Shoshana. I have been involved with a wonderful, wonderful teaching course that Shoshana has been conducting over the last, oh, gosh, sometimes it seems like just a week, and then actually I think it's been about 18 months. And I just want to say that the personal growth that I have experienced through learning to love myself and my journey more has just opened up wonderful doors of good feelings and opportunities. And
uh-huh.
Oh, it's been wonderful. And one thing that, in listening to both of you wonderful ladies talk, is, you know, the learning to love oneself, giving oneself permission to love oneself is a huge step.
Yeah.
Huge.
And I reflected on that at the beginning about making that choice.
Exactly. It, you know, it comes down to what, like you were saying, what are the other words you can use? Well, the other word is choice. I choose to do whatever. A masking trick or facade that I was choosing to use at one point in my life was doing for others. And as a parent, as a business leader, as a career woman, it's always much easier to do for others instead of just looking at yourself and realizing that, you know, unless you take care of oneself, you really cannot go further in the service for others. And
right on there. I agree with that.
And, you know, and women, I mean, I would say women is, we're probably the world's worst about that because we think we have to be out there nurturing, doing. And especially around this holiday season, you know, when it gets so busy of, you know, who's orchestrating and doing everything in the home, I encourage all the women to just take time, go get that pedicure, get the manicure, start from the outside and work in. You know, if that's what it takes to make you feel good, then do it, and whatever it takes to make you feel good. And I just want to say to Shoshana, thank you, honey.
Thank
you've given
you, Barbara.
Me just
thank
wonderful
you.
Gifts.
Thank
Barbara.
You.
Barbara.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Barbara, I have a question. I have a question, if you're willing to share it. I would love to know what's one thing that you do for yourself now that you did not do before?
Well, one thing that's very simple, I wake up every morning and give myself the permission to have gratitude time. And that involves a wonderful cup of tea or coffee and my 100-pound dog who thinks he's a chihuahua be on my lap, and I pet him. And I just start with giving thanks. Thanks for, you know, the early morning, which is, at that point, it's usually still dark, and you realize that, hey, you know what? Even in the darkness, there are lights.
Yeah.
The stars are out, the moon's out, and I just start with gratitude. And that's the one thing in the past, I don't think I know I did not spend enough time doing that. And that sets the tone for the day. And allowing spirit to come into you and just to be grateful for where you are at that moment in time and the thought that you have, and then that produces the wonderful feelings. You know, I think there was an email that we all circulated among each other, and it was something to the effect that, you know, on the other side, they don't hear the words. They being, you know, the beings on the other side, connect by feelings because that produces the energies, the energetic fields. And so I give myself permission to evolve my energetic field very early in the morning.
Great.
And the other thing I do is take naps.
You take naps. That's great.
Yeah, if I feel like I need a nap later in the afternoon and I, you know, have things kind of orchestrated that I can do that, then do it. So even if you're a busy, busy mom and with little toddlers running around, take some time out in the bathroom. Just 2 minutes will be wonderful.
That's
so wonderful. Honoring that. And thank you for that wonderful question.
And thank you for sharing that.
And you two ladies have a good show. I'm enjoying listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Barbara. Bye.
You're very welcome.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad, Barbara, that you were willing to share a couple of examples, especially this time, busy, busy time. So, Shauna, so you were speaking about flaws, and one of my questions is or was, because you've answered it, is what is your definition of flaw? And I heard you say a unique handicap.
Yes.
Yes. I really like that definition.
And you know what I found? I found that the flaw had guided me to the flow.
Uh-huh.
You know, because learning about it and going deeper rather than criticizing it allowed me to see why my higher self created that, what I needed to learn, where I needed to be more compassionate and more involved with self-loving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the flaw leads to the flow.
The flaw leads to the flow. I like that. Everybody remember that one. Flaw leads to the flow. So what are some specific tools or methods, other than what we've talked about, that you have to offer to yourself and people and to the listeners to love oneself, one flaw at a time. So Barbara, she takes this time out in the morning for gratitude and petting her doggy on the lap, and she takes time for napping. What other ideas or methods do you have for people to learn to love themselves more, one flaw at a time?
Well, I find for me, silence is sacred. I find
mm-hmm.
meditation is sacred. I find taking long baths are great. I find not answering the phone just out of habit and
mm-hmm.
really taking in a breath and choosing, am I ready right now?
Mm-hmm.
Does this feel right? Do I feel...
I do that.
Yeah. I find myself choosing different foods rather than just going out of habit.
Uh-huh.
I find myself drinking more water to take better care of myself. And recently, I started going out of the house more often.
Ah.
Yes. And buying flowers for myself. Every week, I buy flowers.
Wow. I know quite a few people who do that.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
All right. So what? I wanna support the listeners in the moments that they go into criticism. So they're in touch with the flaw, and they go into self-criticism. I want to share some, you know, share some tools or methods for people that when they go into the self-criticism, that they can reprogram themselves and have an easier time either letting it go or looking at it in a different way.
Hmm. Well, one of the things that I do when I find myself in a place of criticizing or being hard on myself, I do the Ho'oponopono, which is four statements, which is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. It's not automatic. And it is telling it to your subconscious, to your own grid. Then
mm-hmm.
I put on music.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have also different shows that I love that are spiritual in their content, like Joel Osteen, or different books that I find that from my teacher, Hilda Charlton, or her tapes. And I find that doing any of those steps and sometimes just going out of the house, getting out of that space.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time my teacher spoke about the fact that if you're at home and suddenly from nowhere you start feeling down or depressed, she says, it just might be a thought form. It might be someone is pulling on you because they're thinking about you or they're upset with you or they're longing for you. Get out of the house. I find that when I do that, it does shift.
Yeah, and this is a great method here, just to walk out of the house so it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take a lot of time and interrupt your schedule and all that. It's just like walk out of the house, walk out of the apartment building and get yourself into a new environment.
Right.
One of the things that that I do and that I have recommended to a lot of people, I call it the horizontal drop. So it's got a little humor to it. But it's literally dropping to the floor people can drop on the bed or the couch, but ideally it's the floor, just dropping on the floor on your back and lying there, close your eyes and breathe in and out of your nose and just allow yourself 5 solid minutes just to breathe. And, you know, the idea is to let your mind go and just concentrate on your breathing and give yourself permission for 5 minutes. And so I call it the horizontal drop. And it can be done anywhere, anytime, as many times per day, but it certainly is a great tactic in calming down, and especially if it's in self-criticism. Mm.
I hope you do put a mat or something on the floor, right?
Oh, well, I don't know. Sometimes people just drop, you know? You know, people who work in cubicles, they go find an empty room in the building and just drop. Maybe they don't care about getting dirty.
Well, it's not about that. If you just go back, don't you hurt your head?
Oh, well, no. I mean, it's really not like to drop back. So let me be more specific. It's not that you're standing there and you let yourself physically drop backwards. No.
Oh,
please do not attempt that. Unless you're on your bed.
I took you literally.
You took me literally. No, it's pretty much just being horizontal. So
I get you.
Yeah.
Just lie down. I got you.
Yeah. But I like the horizontal drop. Drop to the floor. No. But be careful when you do it. So that works too. And you know, and then another strategy is looking at what you are critical about, what the flaw is. It could be in your personality or in your body. Say you didn't like your upper arms or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we have a caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
This is Dorothy from Kansas.
Hi, Dorothy from Kansas?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Also known as Christiella.
Hey, Christiella.
Well, I am so enjoying, Janet, your conversation about loving yourself one flower at a time. I think it's a very unique, I just love the one-liner. And I was wondering if Shoshana could possibly share with people, like, when you're doing a sacred journey, how do you relate this topic, you know, one flower at a time, and when you go on a sacred journey, how does that help you with your daily life? Because your next one coming up, you're going to Brazil, correct?
Correct.
Right. And now, if I chose to go on a journey like that, what benefits does that provide?
Well, thank you for the question. And, Christiella, you have been on a few of our journeys, so you definitely know that I purge in front of everyone. I have no secrets. I let all of you see all parts of me, which is I am very grateful for, because I have been very blessed with beings that are very evolved, and we have fun together. We enjoy each other, and we always come back different. And part of that is because we give ourselves permission to be real, to be with integrity, to allow all the good, bad, and ugly hang out or in. And thank you, Christiella, for asking.
Well, you're welcome.
If you feel you want to add anything to it, please feel.
Well, you know, the thing, the way that I was brought up in loving yourself one flaw at a time, when I realized I did have flaws, it was very difficult to embrace that and to accept that. And so knowing that actually flaws, you can really learn, I feel, a lot more from a flaw, acknowledging it and thanking it. And as a friend and as a teacher that you are, I've learned a lot about my flaws and how it has enhanced it has enhanced my life. So I want to give you gratitude for and thank you for that.
Thank you, Christiana. Dorothy.
Okay, well, thank you.
Dorothy from Kansas.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, thanks. That's cute. Oh, my goodness. So, Yeah, I mean, it really keeps coming back to giving yourself permission to be real and in integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because one of the things I think are so endearing about children is not when they have it all perfect. It's when their hair is mussed up, when they are finger painting and there's dirt all over the place, and they're just so real.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just in our hearts that way. And the children that are in perfect manner and coiffured and all that, sometimes it feels a bit strange. It doesn't even feel real.
And I wonder where, like, at what point in our lives that changes in terms of adults not accepting that child. Like, children, they're so real, and they don't have it all perfect, and adults just, I mean, they love them up, and they love that the most about children. So where in our lives do we stop doing that, and for ourselves, and why is it different? You know, as adults, how come we don't have that same perception and permission? It's been a question I've had for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I have certain thoughts on that, but I believe each situation is personal. But I truly believe that a lot of that has a projection. You know, they say you either pay it forward or you pay it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us that have not dealt with those issues will give it forward to our children. And a tendency for us then as parents to mimic what we have learned, to mimic what is allowed, what is not, to mimic how to criticize. And sometimes we speak to our children and it injures. It injures, and not because we want to. We want to have them go out in the world and be accepted, so we think we're teaching them the best manners. And meantime, what they're hearing is the possibility that they are not okay as they are.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is okay, too. Because then they get to have a growth period at some point.
Absolutely. Flaws and flow. Yes.
Do you have... I think we have another caller. Hello.
Hello, it's Maitreya.
Hi, who's this?
This is Maitreya.
Maitreya!
Hi.
From Los Angeles.
Hey, Maitreya.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
I'm enjoying this.
Thank you.
I was listening to what you said about where does that start, and I know I've been in a class at one point with Shoshana or Ortalita, and she talked about innocence, and I was wanting to throw in that I thought innocence or the loss of innocence might be around the time where we take on things like shame or guilt that disconnect us from that great place of love that you were talking about. I'm wondering about your feedback on that.
Thank you for that, Maitreya. And yes, it is a much more expansive point that we can elaborate on, but you're so right. It is about the stage of innocence where children have learned that something is wrong with them, henceforth they have lost their innocence. If someone had shamed them or reprimanded them in front of another, and they had taken it in as they have done something wrong, or now if something is wrong with them,
mm-hmm.
henceforth they have lost their innocence. And then when we lose our innocence, we lose our trust and we lose our faith.
Hmm.
And then possibly we make it into a flaw.
Right. Right. And we disconnect them from self-love.
And it goes round and round and round.
Round and round, right, because the journey then begins, well, how can I get the approval from others? You know, what behavior do I need to have so I am accepted again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I fell out of grace, you know?
Sure.
I remember being in a class years ago, and the possibility was presented to me that there was such a thing as a divine flaw, that it was actually a perfect flaw, and that totally messed me up for a while. But it wasn't something that was wrong with the flaw. It was actually a perfect flaw. But when asked why that was the case, it was presented that it was because if I had no flaws, I wouldn't be able to come back to Earth.
Right. Oh. That's an interesting concept. And Maitia, I have a question. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. Do you think that there's a difference between self-acceptance and self-embracing?
Self-acceptance and what?
Embracing oneself.
Embracing.
Mm-hmm.
I think acceptance is in wholeness, and in embracing, we need two people to do that.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's my thought on that.
Oh, all right. I like that. I'm gonna process that one. And if the audience has any thoughts on that, if you think there's a difference between self-acceptance and self-embracing.
If I may, Janet, I just want to say this, that I believe that self-embracing comes before self-acceptance.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I embrace myself to have a relationship within myself to find out deeper and deeper the love and acceptance within me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the privilege of assisting Ortelia with her book, and I can definitely say that her journey through the book has been very much about self-embracing.
Yeah.
And that if people take on journaling for themselves or writing their experience or doing it through art or some type of creative thing or dancing, it can definitely lead to accepting the flaws and the self-love.
Mm-hmm.
I've been witness to it in her, to walk what she talks.
Yes.
Thank you, Maitreya.
I've had that experience, too.
So I will hang up now and let other people call in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maitreya.
Bye.
Bye. One thought I want to share is the distinction between self-acceptance and then seeking perfection. So there's self-acceptance is the acceptance or embracing of the unique handicap that we have, and not necessarily attempting to change it. There's that distinction from perfection. I encourage people to lead a life of self-acceptance and accepting all of who you are, yet not go on this journey of trying to get it right and trying to be perfect and attempting to perfect the flaws. Do you have any thoughts on that, Shoshana?
Yes, I do, Jed. Thank you. And I definitely agree with you that there is no need for that journey, for our perfection is already there. And we are being told that we are created in the image of God, and who wants to better on that? So we are already perfect, and henceforth the flaws are created as handicaps only for us to get deeper into our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we journey with that and we have fun with that, many people I find that seek perfection is much more a mental attitude than it is a beingness. And then it becomes effortful.
Yes.
I find that when we truly go into the journey of the flow and truly just enjoy it a moment at a time, it unfolds as it should. It unfolds into the place of how divine is guiding us a moment at a time. And when we are in that place, there's no stress. There's complete acceptance because there is complete surrender. And in the place of surrender, there is the essence of faith and love and trust. And we can relax.
Yeah, and I'm reminded now that another tool to use, which I use, is laughing at myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just laughing things off or laughing at myself, at my imperfections, brings humor, and in that humor is this acceptance and embracing of the flaw. And I definitely encourage people to laugh at themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, humor is amazing medicine. Everybody knows that. It is.
If I may share, there's a 12 lines of a poem here that I find has been very instrumental for me.
Great, and then we'll close out after that. We have about 2 minutes left, please.
Okay, and thank you everyone for calling in, and thank you, Janet, for this opportunity and serving as you do. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
Sing the song of your soul. Let it soar on the wings of your spirit. Live the tune of your love so loud, all the world will take notice and hear it. The gift of your very presence marks your place as a person of worth. Rejoice and be ever grateful for the days of your journey on earth. Lift yourself, find your passion, decide who and what you want to become. Create your life and move ahead. You're not defined by where you're from. The race of humankind is yours, not the boundaries of any one nation. Stand and shine in the light of who you are, a beloved and glorious creation. Thank you.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yes, it is. I always get chills when I read it. Thank you.
And what is that word in the Hawaiian? Aho? Is that word the word that means I agree? Aho?
I'm not just in Hawaiian, but I know Red Feather uses it a lot.
Oh, okay.
And Red Feather is my guide for those who do not know.
Yeah. Well, that was really beautiful and apropos for our topic on loving myself one flaw at a time. Thank you so much, Shoshana. If people want to learn more about Shoshana, they can find her information on my BBS Radio webpage. It's thebbsradio.com/siteforsound. Her website URL is there. And if you Google that name, Shoshana or Talia Rogers, she's actually comes on the first page. And, well, many blessings and joy and light and love and happiness, and everyone just keep playing a big game, stay on purpose, and do the best.